All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 374. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 great co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how excited are you that we have spring training back and some live video from camp? It's a fun time.
Oh, yeah. A lot of information to digest, a lot of videos, a lot of overreactions already. So trying to sift through it all and make the most of the news and notes that are out there and kind of move forward with it. But yeah, spring training games start in like a week. It's kind of crazy. So we are almost back.
And we've already hit on every one of the early spring kind of storyline topics. You know, it's like these guys are in the best shape of their life. You know, these guys added new pitches. Anthony Rendon's already hurt. You know, it's like we've already hit on everything. We're in mid-spring form already, and it's only the 13th of February right now. But, yeah, it's just really fun to have live video coming at me in my timeline from camp, seeing, you know, oh, here's Skeens and Bubba Chandler throwing a bullpen. Here's Scooble. You know, here's Roman Anthony taking a BP. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And yeah, we got plenty of stuff coming at you here on the Tool Shed. This will be our second post-hype episode this week. Did the hitters on Monday. A lot of fun names there. So if you missed that, go back and check that out. We got seven pitchers for you today. It's a really interesting bunch of names we came up with today because we were going to add some names like, you know, Bobby Miller, Gavin Williams, but we didn't think they were quite the, you know, post-hype yet. Maybe another year or two they could be. But we got an interesting group of guys to talk about today. But before we do, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at Chris Clegg, MILB. I am an Eric Cross, MLB. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the pod, please rate and review. Make sure you check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. And make sure you check out all the great content available with RotoBaller's MLB Premium Pass. RotoBaller's VIP Draft Kit comes with exclusive rankings and ATC projections from Nick Mariano and Ariel Cohen. It also includes plenty of content from Chris and I. Sync your leagues with TeamSync to use our live draft assistant and get customized expert advice for your league-specific settings. Our premium pass comes with 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use the code TOOLSHED to get 10% off at checkout. All right, let's hop right into it here. First name on the list, Nick Lodolo. I've always been a pretty big Lodolo guy, and at times he's looked really, really good, but only 28 starts combined in the last two seasons. 2023 was pretty much a lost year, 7 starts and ERA over 6. Last year, made 21 starts, 115 in the third innings, 4.76 ERA, 1.20 whip, 24.7% strikeout rate to a 7.5% walk rate. You know, XERA was about a full run lower, but yeah, I think at this point it's fair to put Nick Lodolo in a post-hype conversation because, well, he hasn't been terrible per se. I think anyone that rosters him in Dynasty or even those that, you know, picked him in a redraft have been underwhelmed for the most part. Also, that one, like the dominant end of 2022 when he built all that hype into 2023 and then fell flat on his face. So you got to wonder, A, can the guy stay healthy over a full season? Has yet to show that in his three seasons. And can he you know, can the production be more consistent? He's been very inconsistent so far with flashes of brilliance in there. Where are you at this point on Nick Lodolo? Because obviously there was a lot of hype a couple of years ago. I mean, it was just be him and Hunter Green leading that rotation. Green has stepped up. Lodolo has not. He's now 27 years old. Not super old, but you know, he's not 22, 23 anymore. You know, are you still in on Lodolo, Chris, looking to maybe buy low in Dynasty?
Maybe. I really struggled with where to put him. And honestly, like, he's just kind of steadily moved down my Dynasty rankings. I just look at the profile. One, he's not stayed healthy for a full season at any point in his career, pro career at this point, and that's a little bit concerning. Look at the results. They've been a complete mixed bag. You know, he allows a lot of hard contact at times. You know, the fastball, it's inconsistent. The curveball is a great pitch. I mean, you look at a 43% whiff rate last year. It's got some really good characteristics to it as far as a movement profile goes, with some good depth and a lot of sweeping action in the low 80s. But, you know, outside of that, like, the rest of his arsenal's kind of been underwhelming. You know, throw the changeup, he'll throw a sinker, both those kind of, you know, 15-13% usage range. So it's primarily a four-seam curve, and then he throws the sinker. Basically, you know, just kind of keep hitters on their toes, ground ball pitch type thing, and the changeups exclusively to right-handed batters, which is fine. You know, he's going to face righties more than lefties. So I don't know. Like, when I look at the arsenal, I'm just a little bit underwhelmed every time. I mean, you look at the fastball, kind of the foundation of everything, and it's just, I don't know, it's not a great pitch. Like, while it did miss some bats last year, it also got hit pretty hard. He did allow 6 home runs on it, which, on the four seam at least. But you look, and I just see the inconsistency. I see the health track record. It's not great. And I kind of just wonder, like, what is Lodolo? Is he just a back end starter at this point? And it's kind of how I feel about him. So I'm just not overly high.
Yeah. You know, I think the best thing that you said there, or one of the things that I liked, was that he's just been steadily falling down rankings. I think that's spot on. Absolutely spot on what you said there, because that's where he's kind of been in my rankings too, where he was a guy that was, like, you know, flirting with top 100 status at one point, and then now he's, I don't know if he's in my top 250 anymore. He probably is in that general vicinity, but I need to see him have, like, this is not... Actually, would you call this a make or break year? I mean, are we at that point? I mean, obviously, it's not like he's going to fall completely off the map if he has another kind of weird year. But, you know, as, you know, when we're discussing, can he be an impact arm? I think for that discussion, I think it might be a kind of a make or break year for that. You know, I don't know. I mean, the curveball you mentioned is still really good. K rate's been ticking down. Walk rate's been fine. I mean, he's actually been kind of better control than command. I don't love the command that I've seen from Lodolo, especially on, like, the four seam. I think it gets hit around a little bit too much there, but, you know, at least he keeps the ball in the ballpark, which is pretty solid. And it's kind of funny seeing the similar pitchers to him based on velo and movement on Savant. They show 5 pitchers, 2 of which are Chris Sale over the last 2 years, which is fun. 2 are Kyle Harrison over the last 2 years, and then Ryan Weathers as well. So it's kind of a weird mix there. We'll talk Harrison here in a second. Another, you know, fun lefty that hasn't really lived up to the hype yet. But, you know, at least he's, you know, kept the whip in check. You know, I think he's still an above average strikeout arm. So he's that going for him. So he's not useless like some other, you know, names of, you know, former top prospects like Casey Mize and Matt Manning, even useful anymore. Guys like that, he's not on their level at this point, but you got to wonder, is he ever going to get to that next step and be even like a top 50 arm? I've kind of lost hope of him being a top 25 arm like I thought he could be, like he did show for that, like, brief, you know, end of season 2022, but outside of that, we have not seen it from him. We have not seen the durability yet. You know, he's 115 was his max last year, and yeah, he's still only 3 years into his career, but he's been, you know, various injuries here and there that have limited him. So you get, that's still a question mark. So I don't know. I think I'd buy low on a Nick Lodolo. I'm not, like, ecstatic about it. by any means as I might have been a couple years ago to buy low. But if the perceived value has dropped enough where I think it has, I'm okay just, you know, getting a share or two across my dynasty leagues just to see if he can bounce back. Because I think he can to a degree, but, you know, to what degree, I think, is the question mark here. So, yeah, I guess I'd buy low, but not, I don't know. I'm not as excited about Nick Lodolo anymore as I was, say, 2 years ago or even last year. I mean, my interest is definitely lower than it was. But next arm here is Kyle Harrison, who I was always a little bit lower on than most, and he's kind of had a similar, you know, inconsistent start to his career as, you know, Nick Lodolo has. 24 starts last year, 4.56 ERA for Kyle Harrison, 1.34 WHIP, but less than a strikeout per inning. He was actually right around MLB average in strikeout rate and walk rate, you know, almost, you know, identically, you know, matching those two marks, you know, but Harrison continues to get hit around way too much. You know, barrel rate above 10%, hard hit rate of 44%. There's a lot of, you know, on his Savant sliders, a lot of blue there, you know, and especially in quality of contact, chase rate's low. So even like the one area that he used to excel in the minor leagues, he's no longer excelling in, which is kind of concerning. So with, you know, Kyle Harrison, Chris, I mean, there's not even a lock for him to be in the rotation. I think he's competing for one, like the fifth spot, but it's not a lock for him to be in there. And he's still only 23, so maybe we're jumping the gun a little bit on Harrison being a post-hype guy, but I don't know. Are you still intrigued here, and you think there's still value to be had with Kyle Harrison?
I think so. I mean, he was injured last year, which is obviously a bit of a note, and then also he saw a velo dip that came out today that it apparently corresponded with an injury. So basically, he had an ankle and shoulder injury, which kind of messed up his mechanics and delivery a bit. And he dropped like a mile and a half on the fastball. So that's a pretty notable drop. He set like 92 and a half last year. So with Harrison, like that velo is significant. And then you factor in like he allowed 11 home runs on the four seamer. Like that was a major issue. The rest of the arsenal was pretty good. But the velocity is said to be back. We'll see early in spring, I guess, once spring training games get going, like where the velocity's actually sitting. But I do think the fastball can be a respectable pitch, like very flat vertical approach angle, which makes it unique. And it still allowed it to play decent last year despite the diminished velocity, just given the flat approach angle. -4.16 is a very, very good vertical approach angle. We know that with Kyle Harrison, it's a lower release slot too. It's like a 4 foot, you know, 10, 4 foot, 11 inch release height. So a lot lower, gets a lot of horizontal movement on that pitch. And the thing that I think I'm encouraged by is Harrison threw more strikes last year, which is kind of always the question as a prospect, like how many strikes would he throw? And the strike rates were up. I mean, the strike rate on the fastball was near 66%. He lived in the zone at a good mark with it. He looked at the secondaries as well. He throws the slurve. He throws the changeup. And those pitches both had solid strike rates on them as well. And I think that's a big encourager. I mean, the changeup zone rate's a little bit lower than I want to see, 28.5%. But if he's getting chase out of the zone, which the changeup did have a 33% chase rate, then it kind of balances out a little bit. But I do think that there's room for improved whiffs here. With Harrison, as you mentioned, he's so young. Came up in 2023 as, 21, 22-year-old. Yep. And I still think there's plenty of opportunity ahead for Kyle Harrison to have a big year, put those injuries behind him, which is important for, one, that he can stay on the mound for a full season. And, two, if the fastball's back up near 94 compared to 92.5, then all of a sudden we're cooking. And I think the strikeouts will come back. He had a 22.2% strikeout rate last year, which is not great. I will say the biggest encourager has been the walk rate. That's been huge, his transition from the minors to the majors. He never had a walk rate that was below 10% outside of just 29 high A innings where he was, I mean, the command was terrible. And you went to AAA in 2023. The ABS system was in place. That's obviously something to note, too, if you're looking at prospects. I mean, he walked 16% of batters in AAA. So the AAA zone is very tight. And I'm just encouraged that Harrison's throwing strikes in the majors. He's limited walks. I think we'll see the strikeout rate jump this year. I mean, spend most of the year as a 23-year-old. Yeah, I'm interested in buying back in on Harrison.
Yeah, no, the fastball, I think, is definitely going to be huge for him. And I do think the K rate's going to tick back up to a degree. It's kind of weird, though. We both kind of mentioned it in various ways that, you know, he's kind of been different in terms of like just like the strikeout and walk rates in the majors as he was in the minors. Like, I thought, you know, back when I was kind of fading him a little bit as a prospect, it was more so because I thought he'd be more like a, oh, high 20s K rate, percent K rate, but like, you know, a 12, 13% walk rate. And now those both have come down like 5-ish percent. Now he's like, oh, 22, 23% K rate, but down to like a 7, 8% walk rate. So definitely encouraging to see that walk rate's come down. So obviously, that, as I mentioned, that was a pretty notable concern of mine back in his prospect days. I saw him live, I think twice, maybe three times, I forget. And just his strike throwing wasn't great in my look. So that kind of backed up, you know, what I'd, you know, seen in another video and in the box scores. So was not a big fan of his. But you know, four-seam command, I think, has actually been really good. But slurve, he hangs the slurve a bit too much. I'd like to see him maybe get that a little bit lower in the zone. Maybe go out of the zone, below the zone a little bit more with that slurve to get more, you know, get swing and miss on that. You know, changeup's been solid, but really only a two-pitch guy for the most part against lefties. Throws the occasional changeup, so not completely two-pitch guy, but I'd love to see him just like add a, I don't know, a sinker or a cutter or something else into the mix here moving forward. We'll see, but yeah, I think there's some bounce back potential here. I'm still not super high on him, but I think he's going to be, I think he'll probably have some back end. Like, I think he'll be like a top 75 to 100 pitcher or so. So I think there's still some value here, but I just don't see him ever turning into like a real impact arm. So I probably won't be buying in. I mean, unless I can get him for dirt cheap or free, then I'd be okay with that. But I still have some questions on how much upside is in the tank here for Kyle Harrison. Next name, go back across the country to the Washington Nationals. And Cade Cavalli, who's been deemed healthy right now, which is great to see after, you know, not seeing a lot of Cade Cavalli over the last couple of years, came back and made a few starts between the complex level and high A last year, but missed nearly two full seasons, all of 2023 and damn near all of 2024 with injury. Made the one start with the Nats back in 2022, got lit up, but was one of the best pitching prospects in baseball, you know, a few years ago back in like 2021, 2022. You know, he was top 50 in a lot of lists, you know, top 10 pitching prospect. I saw him live in his double-A days with Harrisburg and was really, loved the curveball and slider. His ability to spin back then was evident. So, I mean, there's still a lot of upside here with Cavalli. He still, was he 20? He's 26 now, turned 27 later in the season upcoming. So, going to be interesting to see how they kind of utilize him this year, how much they utilize him this year. I still think he'd be a really good, you know, late-inning reliever. We'll see. I don't think they're at that stage with him yet. But given how low the price tag is in Cavalli, just given all the time he's missed, I think he might be one of the best buys out of anybody we talk about in this episode. So, because he's dirt cheap or free, you might be able to pick him up depending on the depth of your league. Yeah, and obviously we don't know kind of what he looks like. We'll see more of him as spring training goes on. But again, I was, you know, pretty high on him. I had some concerns with the walk rate back then, his ability to throw strikes, so which is still a concern. We'll see how that looks, but the stuff was never a question. So. I'm definitely intrigued and willing to buy back in just to see what he looks like this year and if he can kind of reestablish some of that value he had a few years back.
Yeah, no, I think it just with Cavalli, it just depends on what does the stuff look like 2 years later, because you go back to spring training 2023 when he first got hurt, and at that point it really looked like that Cavalli was on the verge of a breakthrough. He had a great spring training. That year, he was set to be in the Nationals rotation. You know, he had the TJ last year. He was supposed to come back, but he had dead arm. He had the flu for a couple of weeks that set him back, and they just literally just shut him down. So, you know, at his best, like the fastball was sitting 96. It touched near triple digits. You know, the curve was his most used secondary in the mid-80s. You know, it had a ton of vertical break and drop as well. Slider and changeup sit in that upper 80s range, but they had really good horizontal separation between the two. So, like, even though they sit in a similar band of velocity, like, having that horizontal separation, I think it's pretty huge. So, I'm really curious to see what Cade Cavalli looks like. I still really like the arm and believe in the talent, but he's going to be severely limited this year. They've pretty much just openly said that. They're going to limit him significantly. What does that look like? How many innings does he throw? You know, I think that's still up in the air, but I'm just wanting to see Cavalli on the mound and healthy.
Yeah, that's the first big thing. Stay healthy and get some innings under your belt, and you know, we'll see where the stuff's at.
Sure.
Hopefully it's back, because again, he was really excited. Really good stuff before the injury, so be fun to see kind of how that stuff looks in spring training. Next one here, we got Max Meyer, another former top pitching prospect here. Number 3 overall pick back in the shortened 2020 draft. He's made 13 starts with the Miami Marlins so far. 11 of those came last year, 2 back in 2023 before he missed the 2023 season. The 2 came back in 2022 before missing 2023. But 5.68 ERA last year in his 11 starts with a 1.42 whip. Well under a strikeout per inning. I mean, for a guy that was really big strikeout arm in the minor leagues, has not been that in the major leagues. 18.5% strikeout rate last year. Though the walk rate's been fine, he's been at 7.7% each of his last 2 years, or each of his 2 years in the major leagues, I should say. You know, Meyer, Chris, I mean, he's interesting because it's been very inconsistent results. He's been hit around really, really hard, not missing as many bats as he did in the minor leagues. You know, still has that really fun, you know, fastball, slider, changeup combination. But don't like how the Marlins, I think they kind of mismanaged him a little bit. But I don't know, he's still only 26 years old, or 25 years old, excuse me. You still have hope that Meyer can turn into an impact arm for fantasy purposes?
You know, I think that Max Meyer probably lands in the bullpen at this point. They're not going to do that immediately. I think that's pretty clear. But he's always kind of been on that bullpen track, in my opinion. Just given, I didn't know if the changeup would develop enough. And was the fastball good enough to play? And I think those are still the question marks that need to be answered. Like, the slider's good. Like, we know the slider's a really good pitch. It has been since he got drafted. But the fastball, you know, it's honestly not all that great. It doesn't miss bats. It doesn't really have any unique traits about it. Sitting 94 is fine. But again, when you don't have any, like, outlierish traits to miss bats, then all of a sudden it's an issue, and the whiff rates on the fastball are really poor. He said he can get hit hard from time to time. You look at that slider, yeah, I think that's a good pitch. Upper 80s, gets into the 90s. It's got a strong gyro shape, has some depth at times, and a couple inches of horizontal, and it does miss bats. That's the positive. Like, he missed bats at high levels in AAA and the majors last year. With the slider, very high swinging strike rate, good pitch, but what are you leaning on? Like, he doesn't really have, I mean, he uses the fastball, you know, as often as the slider. So, like, the slider, I think, actually was used more in the majors last year than the four-seam, if I'm not mistaken. Now, there is the changeup here. I guess I don't love it. It does get good horizontal fade, but it doesn't really have the kind of drop that you want. It's a firm pitch, just given the fastball. Like, it's sitting, when it's sitting like upper 80s, it's just not getting the separation that you want to see. I think it's set around 87, 88. It touched 90, 91 last year. That's a little firm. And so I just have questions, like, is Meyer a starter? And I don't think so.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, even when he was kind of a top prospect, there was still, like, you know, back of your mind, like, is he a reliever at some point? It's always been that reliever list there. That fastball has just been hit super hard. I mean, the average exit velocity allowed on that fastball, 94.9 miles an hour last year, had a 330 batting average again, 648 slug, 430 wOBA. He allowed 6 home runs off that pitch and 6 home runs off the slider as well. He allowed 14 home runs last year in just 57 innings. That's but one every about every four innings. That's not great whatsoever. Like he's allowed first career. I mean, it's only 13 starts again, small sample size. But in those 13 starts, 14% barrel rate allowed. It's just he just gets hit way too hard. I mean, the four seamer, like you mentioned, doesn't stand out, and he kind of throws it down, he grooves it down the middle way too often. Slider can be good, but that even that's been kind of inconsistent. Again, he hangs that over the heart too much at times too. And he's allowed six home runs off the slider last year too, even though that was his best pitch. So yeah, remember we always thought, oh, maybe the changeup comes along, and it had good characteristics early on, but that really hasn't developed as expected. So yeah, I'm not 2 feet out the door on Max Meyer, but I'm kind of close to it. I mean, maybe there's a path to him, having some success in a bullpen role, but yeah, I'm definitely much lower on him than I used to be, and I'm kind of done expecting that big breakout, and maybe he can give you something this year. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not super in on Max Meyer anymore, unfortunately. Again, I think they mismanaged him a little bit, but not entirely on the Marlins, so let's say that.
You just realized that you needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there's no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? Well, in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BWN. Just go to Indeed.com/BWN right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BWN. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Next name is maybe one of the more intriguing names on the list, though. Former top, I don't know if you'd classify this guy as a top prospect, but he was a decent prospect coming up through the Cubs org, a handful of years ago. Now with the Houston Astros, Hayden Wesneski, who might get a rotation spot out of camp. He's still pretty, some of the pitch mix here. A sweeper, four seamer, sinker, cutter, occasional changeup. The sweeper is still a pretty good offering at a 43% whiff rate, 174 batting average against. Still throws about 94, 95 miles an hour. So there's still some intriguing stuff here with Wesneski. And now you get him in Houston, who obviously has been, one of the best orgs at maximizing their pitchers. I mean, again, they've taken some guys that weren't top prospects and turn them into, really good major league starters. And so you gotta wonder, can Wesneski be their next kind of success story? I mean, he wasn't terrible last year. He pitched 3.86 ERA between the rotation and the bullpen, mostly the bullpen, 21 relief appearances, 7 starts in 67 2/3 innings, had basically a strikeout per inning, 114 whip. So he wasn't bad last year, but I think post hype is definitely an area he falls into, and I'm definitely intrigued. Low risk, you know, you won't take much to get him, and just to see if Houston can kind of work their magic on Wesneski, I'm definitely intrigued here, Chris.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, the Astros have had a lot of developmental success. You know, Wesneski, obviously, you know, I think some would say he was the third piece in that trade for Kyle Tucker, but it's a pretty good third piece in my opinion, because there are some traits to like with the profile. And yeah, you know, I think if he can prove he can handle a starter's workload, then, you know, this could be a very fascinating arm and one that returns really good value for fantasy purposes. And you know, I mean, 67 2/3 last year in the majors, a 3.86 ERA. That'll play. He had 24% strikeout rate. I actually think that can be, that can improve when you look at the pitch data. Like, I see a potential for more whiffs and more strikeouts. I mean, starting with that sweeper, I mean, that sweeper is a very, very strong pitch. And I think that that kind of could be the catalyst for Wesneski, you know, really getting over the edge with strikeouts, just sequencing it better. I mean, the fastball already sits in the mid-90s. It's, again, like, the fastball is the biggest issue in the profile, much like some of the other guys we've talked about. It's just not a great pitch metrically. Doesn't really miss bats. It doesn't have anything unique about it where it's like, okay, like, I feel really good about this pitch. And it's the four-seam ultimately is kind of the downfall. I almost wonder if he goes to throwing the sinker more. You look at the grade difference. I mean, the four-seam was an 85 stuff plus and the sinker a 102 last year. So you just throw the sinker more. I mean, yeah, I think that's probably the best bet considering how the four-seam plays. Your sinker getting 14 inches of run on it, that's significantly better, even if it doesn't. It actually missed more bats than the four-seam last year. Like, and you're keeping the ball on the ground more. Yeah. I'd absolutely just love to see Wesneski throw the sinker a little more and see how it plays, because that sweeper's very, very good. Maybe he throws the cutter a little more. That's also an interesting pitch. And we know the Astros have been pretty good with pitch dev and pitch design. So I wouldn't be shocked if the arsenal looks a little bit different next year. I mean, the cutter and the change have had success at times. So ultimately, I'd be curious to see, like, is something completely different this year? And it could be. But if he leans heavy on that sweeper, there could be really good results for Wesneski.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too with the sinker usage. And obviously, the, you know, Framber Valdez has one of the better sinkers in baseball. Maybe, you know, he can pick up a point or two from Framber. So, yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by Wesneski. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to turn into some super high-impact arm or anything like that, but definitely some fun things here in the profile still. 27 years old, getting into Houston, definitely a lot to like here. So I'd be willing to, you know, get him on a super low-cost deal and just to see if Houston can work their magic with him. Definitely intrigued. Next name here, Ian Anderson. Speaking of a guy that we haven't seen at the major league level in a couple of years, Anderson was a hot name about, what, 3 or 4 years ago. He had a good 2021 year following up the 2020 year where he had the 6 starts with a sub-2 ERA and was pitching, you know, deep, you know, well in the World Series. So there's a lot of hype about, yeah, 4 years ago or so on Anderson, but then he had a 5 ERA on the dot in 2022 and has not pitched in the major leagues since. So kind of killed any value he had. It's to the point where he's not off the radar, but he's pretty close to it. But hey, he's going to be probably back in the Atlanta rotation this year, at least to start the season until Spencer Strider's ready. Then maybe it's, you know, who's pitching better between him and Grant Holmes. See who gets to keep that last rotation spot for Atlanta. But Chris, you know, Atlanta Braves, Ian Anderson, are you still intrigued here? I mean, still only 26 years old. Used to be one of the top pitching prospects in the game. Where are you at on Anderson these days?
Yeah, I mean, Anderson was a key part of the Braves World Series run in 2021. He pitched in the postseason in 2020 as a young rookie. He excelled greatly. I mean, I was at the World Series game. They started game 3 in 2021. And, like, to see the fall off, obviously, largely related to injury. I mean, that was tough to see. I mean, the drop in 2022. And then really, he hasn't pitched since. And in the minors last year, there was a lot of inconsistencies. He showed flashes in AAA of being a decent arm, I thought, but there was still some inconsistencies. The changeup, did come back to an extent. Like, it had its moments where it was really good in AAA. So that was a positive, because when Ian Anderson was at his best, the changeup was really good. So that obviously is pretty significant. He ran a 34% whiff rate on the changeup in AAA last year. You like to see that. The slider that he was throwing had a 34% whiff rate as well. I get it. We're talking AAA, and we're talking about an arm that had significant and major league experience. So obviously worth noting there. That slider was a new pitch, though, and I think that's something worth talking about. Like, he didn't throw that slider at all. It was something new that he was introducing as he came back, and it had really good results. Now, it's kind of more of a traditional shaped slider. We had seen him throw, he still throws a sweeper on occasion that has a little more horizontal, but this slider that sits like 83 is a newer pitch. We know the curveball is a pitch that he's used at times. It was efficient, especially you go back to 2022, even 2021, the curveball was a big bat missing pitch. That pitch was there as well. So, I mean, again, I want to be careful with AAA samples, but three pitches having a 34% whiff rate on them in AAA is good, especially for somebody that was rehabbing and coming back. And again, Anderson's still young. Like, he's still 26 years old. That's worth noting. The fastball's not good, and it hasn't been. That's kind of always been his downfall. He got it back up velocity-wise, which was good. He averaged 95 in 2021. So that's obviously the first thing to note. He set 94.6 in 2021. He set 94 in 2022. But last year, he set 93. So still down. I'm curious if it comes back. He topped at 95 last year. So obviously, when you go from you were averaging close to 95 in 2021 to topping, that's a pretty substantial change. Now, it's also worth noting that the pitch did come with more IVB on it. It had a little bit of a shape change, which I think is worth noting. It wasn't great, though, and it's something that I think we need to watch closely this spring. If Anderson's throwing 94, then all right, I feel a lot better about the profile. If he's sitting 93 and under, then I mean, I think he's just going to have to say, like, I've got to rely on these secondaries more than the fastball because this is not there. All that to say, I think there's still things to like about Ian Anderson. I think we easily forget how young he still is. He peaked really early, but a lot of times pitchers don't really hit their stride until, like, you know, close to 30. Anderson's to us 4 years until then.
Right.
So I wouldn't be shocked if he came into his own. Here's the thing. He has zero minor league options. He's going to be in the rotation. They don't really have a choice. I mean, they're not going to cut this guy. It's just not going to happen. They need the pitching. Strider's not going to be back right away. I would be baffled if he's not in the rotation on day one.
Yeah, he's definitely getting that shot out of the gate for sure. And I'm definitely still intrigued here. I mean, I kind of liked Ian Anderson a few years ago before things started going south. Because the fastball was really good in 2021. It was a positive 13 run value in 2021, then went to a negative 4 in 2022. And I was, you know, I always liked, obviously, the changeup has always been, you know, his bread and butter secondary offering. But I like the curveball too. I mean, he has that the higher arm slot. You get more of that 12-6 and a snapping motion on the curveball. I've always been a big fan of 12-6 curveballs personally. So I used to love watching Anderson's curveball. And yeah, you mentioned the whiff rates last year, and that was kind of the case for him back in 2022 and 2021, where he had the curveball and changeup were both kind of like that 35, 36, 37% range, and he was kind of combining to use those a little over half the time, the four-seamer being around 47, 48% usage rate. He can get ground balls as well. He was right around 50% ground ball rate, give or take, every year in the major league so far. And obviously those, you know, were far removed from these seasons that we're talking about. But again, the cost, like I was mentioning with Wesneski and others, like, you can probably pick up Ian Anderson in some leagues, or if not, you can get him for super cheap. So yeah, why not? It's one of these moves, like, okay, maybe it doesn't work out, but if it doesn't work out, who cares? You know, like, you didn't give up a lot to get him. I'm fine with that. You know, if it cost me, like, I don't know, top 200 prospect, I'm not going to lose sleep over that. I traded away, you know, a guy that's like ranked 179 in my rankings or whatever. But if it does work out and you get some, you know, comes back to maybe he's not, you know, a stud, but just a serviceable fantasy arm, boom, that's a win for you. So, yeah, I'll definitely see if I can, you know, get a share of Anderson here to see how it goes this year, because I'm still intrigued see how he looks this year with the Braves. Last arm here. We'll keep it in the National League East. I don't know if this guy like fully qualifies as a post type arm because he's had a year or two where he was really good, including 2023. But I don't know. We're going to include him anyway. It's Jesus Luzardo, 27 years old now, coming off a really subpar year last year, both in terms of durability and performance. 12 starts, 5 ERA on the nose, and only made 18 starts in 2022. 2023 was, the good year, 32 starts, 358 ERA, over 200 strikeouts. Then you look in 2021, ERA was pushing 7, and he's only pitched over, 100 innings twice. One of those was in 2022 where he was 100.1 innings, and then last year only at 66.2. So durability is a question mark. Performance has been an absolute roller coaster ride. Obviously the stuff is there. What was that start? Was it one of those starts of 2023? I think it was 6 innings, 1 hit, and 15 strikeouts or something like that. I remember driving home and seeing that kind of pop up. That was a pretty good start. But outside of that, it's been a lot of down. The downside is there with Luzardo as well. His Savant page is all over the place, Chris. He's the one that'll cost the most to acquire out of all these guys, probably by a considerable margin. Maybe Lodolo is the next highest price tag here. But is Luzardo worth the headache anymore? He'll probably have some more dominant starts here and there, but in the totality of it, is he worth kind of investing in given the price tag it takes to get him? Even with that price tag being down this year, are you interested at all in Luzardo anymore?
I don't know. I kind of wanted to see where it goes. I'm intrigued to have one share and see, but you're right. It's a big headache. There was a big stuff drop off in 2024. Obviously some injuries definitely played into that, but you look at the fastball and kind of starts there. It's decent IVB from the release, a lot of horizontal, but doesn't miss bats. So that's a little bit of a concern there. He throws the changeup, he'll throw the slider, he'll even throw a sinker on you some. But honestly, I'm just struggling to see where the true value is with him. Now, I do like a couple of the secondary. I think the slider is a really good pitch with Jesus Luzardo. Yeah. So obviously you can kind of hang your hat on that he does have that out pitch and the bat missing pitch to go to and get whiffs, which I do think is pretty notable. But I'm just not sure the four seam is passable at this point. Can he get back to being? Yeah, the velo was down nearly 2 miles an hour last year, so that's a big drop, and naturally you're going to see a decline when that happens. Slider was still really good. It did drop in velo, but it still missed bats at a 48% whiff rate. The changeup had a 40% whiff rate. So you look at those things and you're like, all right, I definitely want to be in. Just because the fastball comes back, if he's up sitting near 97 again, then all of a sudden it's like, all right, I think this arsenal can work. But again, it's been a struggle with consistency of health as well. He's only had really, in 2022, he threw 100.1 innings. Other than that, it was 2023 at 178. He's had no other seasons north of 100 innings in the majors. So I think you look at that and, there is some concern. The durability is a big aspect, and he just doesn't provide. So, I don't know. I'm split on Luzardo because I do think there is opportunities for him to bounce back, but it is a risk, and it's, like you said, it's not going to be a cheap cost to get him.
Yeah, you got to still be at least somewhat intrigued just because, you mentioned, that the slider changeup, both still pretty good offerings. The four-seamer is pretty middle of the road, and he also has that sinker, which has been, outside of 1 year, the sinker's been downright terrible. Last year, at a .381 batting average against and a .571 slug. He only threw 8% of the time, so it's not like a super high usage rate there. But I don't know. It all comes back around to the durability with me. It's just I have less patience for these guys than I used to. I used to be like, oh, well, the talent's still there. It's still the high upside, and I gave him probably a longer leash to these guys than I probably should have in the past, and it burned me. But after, these types of guys burn you, you know, once, twice, three times, four times or more in your dynasty leagues, you kind of start to be like, all right, maybe I shouldn't trust these guys as much. Like, Royce Lewis, you're about to go down that path. I'm giving you a fair warning right now. Start getting healthy, or you're my next Jesus Lazardo, where I'm not going to be in on you anymore. Like, you got to stay healthy. You know, Chase the Louder. I mean, don't do this to me, Chase. I love you, Chase. Don't do this to me. You know, these guys, you got to stay healthy. I mean, what's the best availability is availability? What was that saying? I'm butchering it. The best.
But the best something, the best trade is availability or something. But there's a different term. I'm just missing it.
Yeah, I'm totally butchering the exact words, but I think everyone knows what I'm trying to say. That you can't provide value, whether it be to your major league team or to our even more important fantasy teams, if you're not on the damn field. And Lizardo has been on the damn field for a full season once. I mean, he's still 27, so maybe it can happen again, but I don't know. I'm not out by any means. I mean, there's still some intrigue here, as we both said. But if I get another, like, 88 innings from him or something like that, I'm just going to be even more out than I am now. I mean, I'm not out 2 feet out. I'm, like, 1 foot kind of out. I'm, like, straddling the doorway right now. I want to be back in. Pull me back in, Jesus. Like, come on. Take the wheel. Pull me back in. But I don't know. It's really tough to value him right now. But, you know, ADP is, like, way down. I saw it's, like, 280 or something like that in redraft leagues. And obviously the dynasty perceived value has dropped a good amount as well. So I wouldn't be opposed to buying low, but I don't know. He needs to be on the field healthy this year. That's the big thing. All right, but that's going to wrap us up. Pretty fun bunch of names here. Some that are more intriguing than others, but all have their various levels of intrigue here. So maybe some good names to buy low on, or maybe you're going to stay away. But that wraps us up. We'll be back with you again on Monday. But until then, everyone take care.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.